Before we proceed to Tzidduk HaDin and the eulogies, I'd like to just share very quickly that sitting with the family the other day, yesterday, gave me a closer glimpse of how precious, beautiful, and wonderful this family really is. I mean, when Avraham Avinu is recorded, the passing of Sarah and Avraham, our sages teach us that the spiritual ID, spiritual passport of a person is not where they were born, rather where and how they ended their life. And so when it comes to passing and the cycle of life, there's so much to hear and learn about the family. A lot of underlying beauty that rises and shines, that surfaces the conversations. And part of those conversations were, this is just, we have to do it the right way. This is how we do it. This is from our family tradition. This is from Chacham Bahar. This is just the way we're doing it, the right way. Whether it was Harry himself, whether it's the siblings, whether it's the children, and just in the themes and echoing from the walls of the home. This is a family that has tradition seated in their spiritual fiber. They really care. They're really connected. They don't compromise, and they do it the right way. And yesterday, Victor, you pulled out a piece of the living will of Chacham Bahar, Reverend Bihar. Yivdu et Hashem b'simcha. There's a legacy of serving Hashem with happiness. Rejoice as you serve Hashem. This is what the family has received. This is the message. This is what we're taking with us. We're with Hashem. We love God. We love our tradition. This is how we lead our life, not separate or a piece of, rather the center, the central theme of our family, of our future. We take our history and we connect it and we hand it over to our children. And I saw that in the details. I saw that in the details. And when it's in the details, it's real. When it's in the details, it carries forth and it transpires onwards. And that is something that has moved me very deeply. And to that, and with that, how Harry handled himself, how he cared, and we'll hear more about that from the children and as we go along, and we're sure in the Shiva process and everything. Harry was very, very much connected to that. And so we thank you for inspiring us, Harry, of living such a life and having such faith that carried you as it carries your family. I'd like to call upon David, if you could lead us in a few words.
It's going to take a minute. I thought it was going to be funnier, you know. I love to bring jovial spirit to these things, you know, but wow, this is harder than I thought. So I'm really honored, I'm touched to stand here. And see all of you, because it's been a hard, hard road, you know, and man, this family knows how to show up, you know, it's really beautiful, and my dad wasn't well, you know, he wasn't well, and his final days were not joyful. As strange as this sounds, his passing was expected. And totally surprising, you know, like I've been planning this. I mean, this is something I've seen for so long, you know, wanted it even with where he was, you know, and at the same time when I got the call, shocking, you know, couldn't have been more shocked. Uncle Jack called it bittersweet. I couldn't agree more. It's good to remember that the man we saw in recent years wasn't really him. He became unrecognizable from who he used to be, you know, and now he's been released. Thank God for that. Bittersweet. Visiting him toward the end was hard, but I hold tight to the memory of him meeting our son Leo and the quiet joy that moment brought him. Anyone who knew my dad knows how much he loved babies. Oh, he wanted grandkids so bad, you know. I wasn't sure
if he'd fully grasped what was happening when we brought Leo to meet him, but I knew how important it would be to him. So when Dad met Leo, he didn't say much. He wasn't in a position to say much, you know, but he lit up and he was confused, but something broke through. And I think it was the last time I saw a flash of clarity and presence in him. I was told he remembered Leo's name a day or two later. And at that stage, he wasn't remembering much at all, so somehow that moment reached through the fog. I don't know what that means, but I'm grateful for it. And he always recognized Harry and Elena's daughter, Mila. He would have been overjoyed to see those kids play together, you know? I want to thank everyone who shared memories. They helped me remember. Shannon Lorraine reminded me how he'd show her the same scar every time he saw her. A scar her mom Cheryl gave him with a fire poker when they were kids. You know, you can't say he didn't have a sense of humor. He'd tell us those silly, stupid stories reminiscing and laugh, and even if no one else did, he really could crack himself up, you know? He lived by a code, as the rabbi said. There were rules to everything, especially at synagogue. He was very concerned over which prayers to say, in what order, to which melody, and depending on the holiday, all that could change, you know? And he had his Harryisms, you know, his signature phrases. Excuse me, Rabbi, you know. There were the six P's. Prior planning prevents piss poor performance. Where does sympathy fall in the dictionary? Between shit and syphilis. Does a bear shit in the woods? Was his version a yes? And one of his favorites, opinions are like assholes, everybody's got one. You know, my friend Andy reminded me how welcoming Dad was to our friends. He treated Andy like a son, the way he adopted so many of the people in our lives. Fiona and Nina reminded me how much Uncle Harry meant to them, how alive and electric he could be, how present, overwhelmingly present, he loved being Uncle Harry. And all of this has made me think about what I remember. What I remember most about my father, which the standout is unconditional love. My therapist and I talked about how rare that is, how hard it is for adults to love without condition, you know? Most of us carry expectations, disappointments, judgments. We love our pets more unconditionally than we love our partners. But my father was different. Sure, he had hopes and dreams for us, and he certainly didn't always understand my choices. But he loved me, and he accepted me in a way I never expected to be accepted by him. And if your name is Alhadif, or Bihar, or Schoenfeld, or Calvo, or Galanti, or anything else in this room, he loved you too. He knew how to show up. If someone died, he was the first to be there. If you were sick, he got to the hospital before the ambulance. If you were celebrating something, he wanted to be right there with you. This was his kind of presence, loud, unapologetic, all in. And if you knew him, you know how jarring and beautiful that kind of presence could be. Especially in a world where so many people hold back. And for me, even when I did things he didn't understand, he was proud. He couldn't always explain my work or my world, but he beamed because I was happy. He supported me, he lifted me up, he forgave me, and he loved me. Fiercely, fully, always. You loved your children, and now those children have children. You may not have met all of them, but I promise you, he loved them too. He was flawed in the most human and beautiful way. He forgave, and he gave us reasons to forgive. And if there's a silver lining in the long, painful arc of these last years, it's they've created a bridge between my brother, Harry, and I, a friendship and closeness that Dad would have hoped for. I know he would love that, and I know it will live on. I want to share something that's helped me understand the spiritual part of this journey. It's said that the soul is a divine spark, a piece of the infinite light. And sometimes in the end of life, that light takes a long time to return home. Not because it's stuck, but because something sacred is still unfolding, a spiritual repair, a shedding, a release. And maybe my dad's suffering wasn't just pain. Maybe it was also that. A slow return, a cleansing, and a letting go. Because even at the very end, when almost nothing could get through, he remembered Leo. He knew Mila. His soul knew love. And that's what I'm going to choose to remember. He loved his wine, his steak, his grilling, and his ridiculous Jaguar that never started. But most of all, he loved his wife for 42 years, his kids and all of you, and of course your babies. That love, that is his legacy, and what more beautiful legacy is there than that? He taught me how to love, and I don't do it as purely as he did. And maybe one day, I'll be like my dad. I'll miss you, and I'm grateful you're at peace. Thank Amen. You.
Amen. Thank you, David.
So I thought I'd be prepared for this. As my brother said, my dad's been sick for quite a while now. Let's be honest. How can you really be prepared for the loss of your best friend, your best advocate, your fiercest protector, your dad? Growing up, my dad was everything. He was the best. He taught me valuable life lessons and shaped the man I am today. I struggled writing this eulogy today, because there isn't just one story or one anecdote that I can share with you that summarizes my dad. He was complex. Take religion, for example. He wasn't observant in the traditional sense. He didn't keep Shabbat, he didn't keep kosher. But the moment he arrived at synagogue, he was the rabbi, the chazan, the gabbai. As my Uncle Jack said, the payout grew out when he walked in and came back in when he left. And this happened at Ezra Beseret, and it happened at Sephardic Bikur Cholim. The synagogue was his happy place. And I can remember driving to synagogue on high holidays or Shabbat and belting out the tunes. We shared a love of the tunes and the traditions. What we sang was different depending on the occasion. On Shabbat, we would sing the Kiddushah of Musaf. On Yom Kippur, you'd hear a little Kal Nidre, Birkat Kohanim, or our favorite, the tunes of the old choir. One in particular was Psalm 150, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, El Kodesho. This was a beautiful tune that required harmony, coordination. Sometimes he would take the main parts and I would chime in with Hallelujah, while other times I would take the main and he would chime in. But we always finished together in unison and on key. And that's the way our life was. We took care of each other. For the better part of my life, he took care of me, my brother, and my mom. Later in life, we, and with the addition of my wife, Elena, we took care of him. Our home was happy, was filled with warmth, love, and laughter. Sure, there were occasional tears and fights, but what family doesn't play Monopoly? We went on vacations, Lake Chelan, New York, Boston, Israel, Paris, Costa Rica, Bahamas, Vegas, and more. We won a game show called Second Honeymoon, and because my dad got so sunburned on his first honeymoon in Hawaii and spent the majority of time in a vinegar bath, they sent us on an all-expenses-paid cruise to Alaska. My mom and dad loved entertaining and getting together with friends. My dad loved to barbecue, and any of you that remember the house in Clyde Hill probably remember his collection of barbecues, smokers, both wood and pellet, and a deep fryer for good measure. If you were coming to my parents' house, you knew you were in for a night of good food, good wine, and good friends. Dad, you have two wonderful grandchildren, Mila and Leo. You beamed when you saw them. And if there was one thing that could get you to smile, like David said, it was seeing them. And I can see you in Mila. Her infectious smile, her empathetic heart, how good a friend she is to the people around her. While she may not have known you well in life, I promise to talk about you often, so she knows all about Grandpa Harry. Judaism has many wonderful traditions, but what I love most about our religion is the community that we build together, the common bond that we all share, and whether it's in good times or sadly in bad, this community steps up and supports each other. The outpouring of love over the last couple days has been tremendous, whether it's been through phone, text, email, and now in person. I've heard how my dad touched so many lives and was such a force in this community. On behalf of me and my family, I want to say thank you for being here and supporting us. I also want to take a moment to thank all of the people at the Klein Gallen Home. You guys took such good care of Dad over the years. You always treated him with dignity and respect, and we're so fortunate to have you in our community. As I told the rabbi a couple days ago, I plan on being at synagogue a lot more over the next year. Dad, the car rides are going to be a little quieter. The harmonies won't be as harmonious. And there will be a void in some of the choir portions. But Dad, I know you're up there in heaven singing right along. I love you. Thank you for this life. And I'll miss you more than words can say. Amen.
Amen, and thank you for that. At this opportunity, we'd like to, on behalf of everyone that knew Asher, we're asking Asher Mechila. Anything we may have done or said during his lifetime or even in the process of preparation for burial and transportation and everything, we ask you, Mechila, if we did anything against your honor or your wish, on behalf of everyone here today and everyone that was associated with taking care of you up until this very moment and through the summation of the burial. So Asher Al-Khadef Ben Allegra and David, 82 years old, eldest of his siblings, he was a man with a unique mind, as you know better than I. He was made to do things in a special way, to see what needs to be done, and to do the job the right way. Above all, he was a man with a big heart. It was emphasized to me numerously. He was a man with a big heart, a love for his family, his people, his tradition, Judaism at large. He would do whatever is needed and give what he got to ensure his loved ones are okay and are sorted. Harry was not knowledgeable in traditions, minhagim, and loyal to his family. Being a piece in the puzzle, a part of the big community, a part of the keilah, meant a great deal to him. He looked forward, as I was told, to be one of the elders that people could ask him, what's the tune for this one? How do you do that one? You stand or you sit? Right side, left side? He had a special seat in the synagogue and made sure to remind you if you mistakenly took his seat. He had a close relationship with Rabbi Greenberg, Alav HaShalom. You would call him Kvod Harav, and he would support him in many ways. He had tremendous respect for minhagim and customs. He naturally picked up the tunes, as we heard from his son. He picked up the tunes. He knew the tunes. The family said he could have been a rabbi. He could have been a rabbi. He had it in his heart. We all know that, you know, sometimes you see children, they're just born with this innate inclination just for that kind of affiliation in their life. And it's very moving to hear how he practiced the tunes with you. Very, very moving on the way. Normally, you know, on the way to Beth Knesset or somewhere, you just talk about practical things or look at the tree or here's the view and how's the weather. We're practicing the tunes as you're traveling. I mean, uvelechtecha v'derech, as we go along in our way, practicing the tunes. Big mitzvah. I heard that he would say, words have meaning. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And on his commitment to his family, of course, he always wanted to be there for them. He very much looked forward and anticipated to enjoying his grandchildren, which he saw not as much as he would have wished. I was told he was not shy. Not shy. He was the president of EB. And in his time in EB, he did really good work, very special work. And he rolled up his sleeves. There were things that needed to be handled, sorted, moderated, renovated. If it was in the social hall or downstairs in the youth area, he really put it all together. And because of his input, things have been escalated to a better degree. He loved being president. He just loved being president. And he also had a passion for Jewish education and really made sure that his children understood that he wanted them to have as much Jewish education as possible. And it appears that each one of you, the sons, his sons, you have taken that and imparted that in a very special way, each one in his own fashion. He took you guys to the Klein when you were kids, right? He took you to the Klein. He took his children to see the elders of the community and beyond community to give kavod to the zekenim, to give kavod to the chachamim. The pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, "Mipnei sevatakum." We should stand up when we see someone elderly. "Vehadarta b'pnei zaken." You have to honor the chachamim. "Ve'areta me'elohecha." And you should fear your God, Ani Hashem. I think all those things, all those commandments in the psukim were found in him. Honoring the elders, honoring the chachamim, fearing Hashem. It's a very big gift to have received such memories from him. I understood he was a natural entrepreneur. He wasn't meant to work for other people, rather to lead things himself. And so that's a divine gift from Hashem. Operating and owning wineries and restaurants, married for 42 years. When it came to his family, he loved being with his family around the holiday meals and made sure not just the first night, but both nights of Pesach and Sukkot. So he really did things the way they should have been done. But above all, what I heard from David is that even though he had his ways, and things had to fit into the way that he wanted them to be, above that, he just had unconditional love. So if it worked out, and you could do what he wanted, and you met his expectations, great. But otherwise, beyond that, there was something far greater, which is called love. And that led him. Those were the precepts that led his communication with the world, and especially with his family. Our sages teach us how great is one mitzvah, one little mitzvah. Because we really don't know the depth and the magnitude that even one mitzvah can carry. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, "Ezo yiderech yeshara she'avor lo adam," what is the proper way that a person should find for themselves? And it speaks about being good to others and good with Hashem, but it also says, "Ve'eved zahir," and you should be cautious and meticulous. "B'mitzvah kala," even in a maybe minor commandment, "ke vachamua," like a major or more serious commandment. I don't know what a minor commandment is. Maybe you know what a minor commandment is. But even something that's seemingly simple to carry out, easy, not even difficult, don't underestimate that. You have a mezuzah in your home, don't think it's nothing. You said a beracha, don't wave it off. You washed your hands for bread and you said hamotzi, you went to synagogue, you send your kids to Jewish education, you say barachot, you say amen, you honor the elders, you respect the synagogue, the tradition, you know the tefillot, you sing them on the way to synagogue. You know what that does in Shamayim? His name was Asher. Asher, what a holy name. I just thought about it. You know what Asher stands for? Amen, Sheme, Rabbah. How great is the name of God? And he carried that with him. And he believed in that. And that was a value that was, I guess, embedded even in his name. And so those zechuyot, those inspirations, just from who you were, Harry, may they stand for you and help you be elevated in the Garden of Eden, in the spiritual realms which you are now entering. May your children and grandchildren bring you joy. May your memories be a legacy. And Bezrat Hashem, all the mitzvot that we do for your memory, may they inspire us and elevate yourself and your soul in Shemayim. I'd like to announce very quickly that we all know this, but if we have any Kohanim around when we enter the burial site, if you could please shy away from the burial site and not enter that area for Kohanim. Also, when we are around Harry or entering into the graveyard, as we respect the space that we're in, the process that we're doing now, the ceremonial burial, we do not speak unneeded or unrelated conversations. We also wash our hands when we exit three times on each hand consecutively without drying them. and very importantly, to announce prayers to Filot at the home of Susie and Victor at 6:50 p.m. The family also wants to thank everyone for their support and for being here. And at this time, I wish to convey deep condolences to David and Ari, to Victor and Jack, to the grandchildren, to everyone in the family. May his memory be a blessing, and may Hashem give you strength and comfort at this very challenging time. Amen.